Jones and that old Sam Webb. Or you might have heard of old John Henry. He's a man that drove that steam trail down. I'm a railroad man, I'm a railroad man. Riding up on the train.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to support More Love for Linda, a tribute and celebration of life for Linda Hornbuckle, who passed away Saturday, October 4th. A benefit concert was already planned to help raise funds for her medical bills and now will raise funds for the family debt and serve as a public tribute and celebration of Linda's life. More Love for Linda will be held Tuesday, October 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Crystal Ballroom and will feature Quarter Flash, Soul Vaccination, the Linda Hornbuckle Band, and other special guests. Again, that's Tuesday, October 14th at the Crystal Ballroom, 1332 West Burnside in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Amazing grace.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. On September 13th, the Youth for Justice community event was held at Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square. This event was organized by Partnership for Safety and Justice, Momentum Alliance, Oregon Student Association, and Multnomah Youth Commission. Tonight we'll hear voices from the Justice for Youth event calling for reform of Oregon's Measure 11, the law that allows teens as young as 15 years old to be tried and sentenced as adults. We're here at the Youth for Justice event, and I'm with
Quince Ossenberg, and I'm a Multnomah Youth Commissioner representing the Safety and Justice Partnership with the Youth for Justice. We're really just trying to get the word out about Measure 11, and we think it's really unfair because it sends youth to adult prisons, which they have a higher chance of being sexually assaulted, and it's very hard for them to get a job after they get out of prison. This is my first year, but we've already started joining commissions, and our three commissions are the Youth Against Violence, Youth Voice Education, and Youth for Sustainability. And we're really focused on social justice work within the Multnomah County and the larger city of Portland.
And I'm here with
Antonia Sedvin, the co-chair of the Multnomah Youth Commission. So I am the co-chair, along with Gwyneth Alvarez. So our work is really focused around social justice and around youth justice. So some of our examples are, I'm on the Youth Voice and Education Committee, and one of our work is working on chronic youth absenteeism. So like, why are youth aren't in school, and why is it that they don't like school? What can we do to fix that? How do we bridge that conversation between youth and adults to fix the school system?
What are the issues? What are they saying about why they're not in school?
So some of the things that were brought up is like school hours are too long, or they don't feel like their teachers actually care about what they're doing or don't like their job. So those are just some of the things that we got from focus groups that we did.
And what else does the Multnomah Youth Commission do?
One part of that the Youth Commission does is we do youth adult partnership trainings. So how to make communities that are working with youth better allies to youth. We also have two other committees, which are sustainability. They work on transit justice issues. So, like, why isn't the bus frequent enough? They partner with Opal Environmental Justice Oregon, which is a grassroots nonprofit. And another one of our committees is Youth Against Violence, and they're working on violence around the community that are affecting youth. Because in the summer of 2011, gang violence and anti-gay and gender violence increased really rapidly, and so they were like, this is violating our rights. And speaking of our rights, we have a document called Our Bill of Rights, Children Plus Youth, which is a document that was adopted by the City of Portland and Multnomah County, and that just our basic rights as youth and children of Multnomah County in the City of Portland.
Where can you see this documentary?
This document is available on our website at ourcommission.org.
You are?
Vanessa Dominguez, Momentum Alliance. I'm the youth director for the program. And we have two different programs. So Momentum Alliance's mission is to inspire youth to realize their power individually and collectively. And we're youth-led. So when we say we're youth-led, like, we really are youth-led. So 65% of our board is 25 and under. Our bylaws say that 51% of the board has to be 25 and under so that the youth can't get outvoted by the 25 and over. And 75% of our board is people of color. So we have two different programs. One is Student Alliance Project, and one is Leveraging Momentum. And Student Alliance Project, basically the only three requirements we have is that you want to break down walls between people that are different from you, that you want to set and reach personal, educational, leadership, and professional goals, and that you want to learn and practice leadership skills. So that's like getting your own house in order. Because in order to be a successful leader within the community, you need to be a successful leader within your own life.
And how do you break down the walls between diverse youth?
So we do a lot of poetry writing, a lot of like getting to know each other, because we find that instead of talking in hypothetical terms, once you know someone's story, you learn to care about them, and then you learn to like get involved in issues that don't necessarily affect you directly. So that's one of the reasons we do a lot of storytelling, a lot of sharing, a lot of poetry, a lot of just sharing about our stories, talking about our stories, because a lot of youth don't have a safe place outside of the program to talk about the things that they've been through and the stuff that they've done. So that's one of the ways we break down walls. We also have lots of camps, leadership camps. So we have summer, spring, and winter break camps. So this summer, what it looked like, we had a reproductive justice camp where we talked about abortion. We did an activity called The Sex is Right. So we got to learn a bunch of like shocking facts about like sex and things you don't really talk about. We got to talk about gender identity. And we had gender caucuses. We had a female, a male, and a queer and questioning group. We also had a Spread the Love camp, which is a basketball camp. And it was led in partnership with Spread the Love. And they got to learn basketball skills from an ex-professional basketball player that played overseas. We had a camp at Zenger Farms, so they got to see like an urban farm type of stuff and learned about food.
How does a youth get involved with this?
Yeah, so currently right now, so we're launching a program called SAP Academy, and it focuses on educational and career supports, so they can apply through there, or they could just come email us, see when activities are happening. We have a calendar online at MomentumAlliance.org, and they can see activities that are happening.
At MomentumAlliance.org.
Yes. Yeah, and also they can just email us at info@MomentumAlliance.org or at Vanessa@MomentumAlliance.org.
Okay. Thank you so much,
yeah,
Vanessa.
No
Sounds
problem.
Like a great program.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm here with Gretchen Valla of Oregon Cure. So what's new with Oregon Cure?
Well, we're getting ready for our annual meeting, which will be held on Thursday, October 23rd at the Beaverton City Library from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And we're really looking forward to this event. We've entitled this segment Navigating the Oregon Prison System. And we will have our guest speaker will be Senator Chip Shields. And we will have two formerly incarcerated adults there, along with a parent who has two sons in the system, and then a former employee of the Department of Corrections. And what we'll really do is just kind of help people like find their way through the prison system. Everybody who has a loved one who's convicted comes into, they may come into an intake orientation or one of our support groups, and everyone's lost. No one has ever experienced this before, and we just hope to give them some skills to get through, for their loved ones to get through the system and for themselves.
Gretchen, for people who don't know what Oregon Cure is, what exactly is Oregon Cure?
Well, the acronym is Citizens United for the Rehabilitation of Errants, and it's kind of an old-fashioned phraseology, but basically we were started, the national chapter was started in the early 70s by two people protesting against the Vietnam War. They went to jail, and when they got out, they said, oh my gosh, people who go to jail aren't treated very well. So these two people turned this into their life's work, and they've been advocating for people in prison, both with Department of Corrections, Community Corrections, and our lawmakers ever since the early 70s.
And I understand you do have support groups, orientation meetings. Talk about those.
We do. So we are not a service organization, but we do provide information and education to the public. We partnered with Department of Corrections several years ago, and we co-facilitate an intake orientation for family members who have a loved one going into the system. We just talk about like the expectations of Department of Corrections, and then family members, including me, talk about how to help your loved one get through their sentence. We have several support groups throughout the state, and this gives people an opportunity to come in and talk to other people in the same situation, and they can network with perhaps getting rides to some of the far-reaching prisons, or just talk about their circumstances and get together for coffee afterwards. And then the third thing that we do at the community level is we co-facilitate release orientations with four different counties, four different metropolitan counties in Oregon. And at this time, we work with Community Corrections to explain the terms and conditions of post-prison supervision to family members who are just going through this. It's a totally new chapter, and we want everyone to be aware of what the expectations are for their loved ones when they're released.
Gretchen, how do people connect with Oregon Cure?
www.oregoncure.org.
Thank you so much, Gretchen.
Thank you, Karen.
And I am with?
Sharon Gary Smith.
And which organization are you with,
Miss? I'm the executive director of MRG, McKenzie River Gathering Foundation. McKenzie River Gathering is Oregon's longest serving social justice foundation, 38 years this year, that has always funded organizing, communities coming together, people who are most impacted, being able to be in leadership and to organize to change the systems of oppression. And particularly those who often, because they're considered controversial, such as working against excessive imprisoning and incarceration of young people, particularly young people of color, punitive measures against communities and families that are striving to be free, immigrants and others who arrive here as all Americans did and want to be a part of the Oregon social fabric.
Do you have any programs right now?
As a foundation, we don't have programs in the same way that nonprofits might. What we have is grant making, so the power of our purse. Each year we fund to the tune of $500,000, $500,000, programs throughout the state that are actually organizing youth, those who typically aren't favorable to funders, who are working on the issues of stopping the Measure 11, stopping the zero tolerance measures that are unequally distributed to youth of color. Looking at those groups that are organizing to protest the excessive incarceration of young people as adults and young people of color being disproportionately represented. So we use the power of our pen, our purse, to organize and to support and to build and strengthen those groups so that they can be anchors in the community to create Oregon that we think we all deserve.
Can you name some of those groups that you have funded?
I'm pleased, in fact, the fact that Partnership for Safety and Justice today has organized these youth to really look at not just the being in the streets and educating us, but they also impact policies. They move for the policies, repressive policies to be changed. Some of the groups, such as PSJ, have grown big and are too big now, but we were early funders of them. We were early funders of PICCOON. We were early funders of these youth organizing, advancing against Measure 11. $500,000 is the maximum budget for a group to apply to us. So we're like East. We're early in, and we fund those who are not as attractive or who are political, and certainly incarceration and youth treated as adults is political. and we fund and we support and we prepare them to be able to apply to other funders, larger funders, to establish an Oregon that we feel is more just. It's cheaper to educate than it is to incarcerate, but incarceration is a boom in Oregon. And so we, with our money, with our community education series, with our critical conversations, we are a funder who's willing to step out and say that it's political, it is important that we not have young people who are tracked to prison when they could be contributors to this society. If you want to contact MRG Foundation, we are www.mrgfoundation.org, or to call us at 503-289-1517. We answer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
So I'm here with Emmanuel Price,
yes,
of SCAFE.
Uh-huh.
Remind us what SCAFE is.
SCAFE stands for Second Chances Offer Everyone. It's a nonprofit organization. Our whole mission is to help men, women, and youth post-prison. So we offer everything from suits and ties to professional development to eventually finding, helping them find employment in the community and also being a mentor.
Any updates for us? I know you've been on Prison Pipeline.
Yes, I want to plug, we're having a fundraiser November 8th. From 4 to 8 p.m. at Center for Intercultural Organizing, which is 700 North Killingsworth. And this is our second fundraiser, and it's going to be a dessert and coffee reception. So there'll be a lot of sweet desserts, a lot of rich coffees, a lot of teas, a lot of community education and awareness, a live performance, raffle prizes, all the good and fuzzy things. And we're going to have a great time. We expect everyone to come and hang out and just support the cause, because I can't do this without the help of the community. So November 8th, 2014, 4 to 8 p.m. is the fundraiser at Center for Intercultural Organizing. And we would love everybody to come out. There's a small $5 entry fee, and if you can't pay the $5, that's okay. Come in anyway, eat some of this good dessert, eat these cookies, pies, cakes, and just come rock with us.
Emmanuel, how do they get in touch with you?
You can contact me 503-866-6520, or you can reach me by email at info@scafe.org. That's info at S as in Sam, C as in Cat, A as in Apple, F as in Frank, E as in Emmanuel.org.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I am here with two gentlemen from the NAACP, and you are?
I'm Justin Swoboda.
You are?
I'm Anthony Allen.
Justin, what do you do with the NAACP here in Portland?
Well, I'm the youth coordinator. So we have a new youth group coming to Portland. And right now what we're trying to do is, you know, support what's been happening around the world and also try to prevent it from happening here.
And Anthony, your position with the NAACP?
I am the youth director.
And what do you do as the youth director?
I help organize events and plan social gatherings for the youth and topic issues and figure out how to reach a solution or a conclusion.
And what are some of the current issues we're facing here in Portland with youth?
Senseless violence. Senseless violence. I say it again.
Senseless violence.
Human on human crime. I no longer see racial lines no more. It's just human on human crimes. I'm talking about whether it be like just somebody walking down the street and getting mistreated.
So what are you doing? What is NAACP youth group doing to help with this issue?
Well, we just started the NAACP youth branch, and we're trying to recruit as many young people as we can to get them out there because, you know, as we get older and we're not in high school, you affect more people in high school and school period. And we're trying to get some youth to affect their high schools and also topic their issues, because each set of area have their own issues. We know that, and we just need these youth to come out and these issues down.
How does anyone get in touch with you to become a part of this?
You can call the number 503-726-6311. Pretty soon there will be a Facebook page.
Okay.
In a couple days.
All right.
I'm working on it right now.
So what do you hope to achieve?
I hope we educate our youth and really change the future. Really, because, you know, it kind of just starts with everyone kind of personally seeing, you know, the problem and the issues. And, you know, right now, no one is. And the older generations can't speak for the youth because they already had their day and they can't relate. Right now, the older generations aren't the ones getting shot or, you know, killed violently or, you know, getting into all this violence. So right now, the youth really has to take a stand.
How has the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson affected you?
On a personal level, made me pretty angry.
Anthony, do you have anything to add to that?
With many deaths, there has been great change And on that note, I feel like it would just be a total injustice for this young man to suffer how he did and not have nothing happen drastically nationwide, if not worldwide.
Thank you both so much. Good luck. I am here with Trish Jordan of Red Lodge Transitions. Hi, Trish.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. So you are at the Youth for Justice event?
We're supporting our youth. Actually, we're supporting people of color because the majority of our people in prison and jails and youth facilities are of color. And Major 11, which is really what we're talking about here, can charge someone as young as 15 with an adult crime. And we really feel that that's not an appropriate way to manage our youth.
Trish, there are a lot of Native Americans here in our Oregon prisons and jails, and yet why is that a little-known fact?
For one thing, you know, profiling is not supposed to happen, and so when they do come into the facilities, a lot of times visually they're marked what whoever's doing the intake determines they are. And so, especially if we have a Hispanic surname, which a lot of Native Southwest Indians do, they're marked as Hispanic, which is really not accurate. So we find that we have a lot of Native folks that are either identified as Asian, if they're Alaskan Native, Caucasian, if they're maybe mixed race, or sometimes African-American if they have any African-American blood in them.
So in other words, there's a lot more Native Americans in our jails and prisons than reported.
Absolutely. The Department of Corrections documents approximately 2.3% of the population as Native American, which is fairly consistent with the total population of Oregon. Yet, when doing our own survey, we find that 7 to 8% of the prison population for the women are Native, and 4 to 5% for the men, which is a huge disparity number.
What educational materials do you have here today? What are you presenting?
Well, we have our newsletter that talks about what we're doing in the community. Red Lodge, about 60% of our work is done within the prisons, helping with programming that is going to prepare people for reentry.
Make sure that before you leave this space today,
and last time we talked, Trish, you were talking about home for women who are releasing from the prison system. Has that come to fruition?
You know, we're getting there. If somebody wants to donate us a house, we'd be happy to take it. And
how can they do that?
Well, just call Red Lodge, you know. Call KABU. They'll get a hold of us. We're happy to talk to anybody that would like to help us out. We're grassroots, and we're very proud of that. But, yeah, we need to move to the next level, and we need a house for our women.
And website?
www.redlodgetransition.org.
Thank you, Trish.
I just want to say I am so grateful for all these people that turned out to support the Justice for Youth cause, and I'm from Red Lodge, and I love Red Lodge, and I am actually a client of Red Lodge, and so I've received services for about 9 months since being released from Coffee Creek, and they have provided support, encouragement, and helped me to promote a positive, productive identity. And I wouldn't be where I am. I have housing now. And
your name?
Oh, Jacqueline Witt.
And Jacqueline, what do you have to say to all the women still in Coffee Creek?
Keep your head up. And when you get out, contact your city for their resources. If you're coming to Multnomah County, contact Red Lodge and ask for Jackie, and I can direct you.
Thanks so much.
And then I also go into the Department of Corrections as a volunteer. And I go in as a spiritual advocate, so I go in and do Native American ceremonies, sweat lodge and pipe and talk in circle and stuff like that. And so that's where my heart's at. I lived a rough life. I've been through a lot of stuff as a youth and as a juvenile, and I was to overcome all those things through my culture and traditions. And because I listen to people that are in places like this and that have stepped up and want to make change amongst our young people and our communities. And so the reason I'm here today is because I want to be a support and an advocate for our children. I've seen a lot of kids fall under Measure 11, first-time offenders on really petty crimes. And I won't talk about no names, but I know a whole handful of them, some of the first times that fell under the Measure 11. And because of the mandatory minimum sentences, they were sentenced as an adult and they went to the adult prisons. And really when they entered the system, it was a mistake that they made as a juvenile, a young juvenile too, 15, 16 years old. And then they were incarcerated with these adults and they started living that prison mentality and started learning new things, and it wasn't positive. And now a lot of my friends that I seen go that route have continued their career in the criminal field. And a lot of them are doing 15, 20 years in prison now because of it. And so it really saddens my heart to see our relatives go down that path. And there seems to me that there could be a different answer. And I don't know the answer, but what I know is that we need to focus on our young people and we need to stop being so hard and tough on them when it comes to crime. And I understand that some of the crimes that are committed as juvenile are really heinous and those people need to be held accountable for their actions. But on the other hand, we need to take a look at the ones that don't deserve to go to prison for all them years.
And I am here with
Gabrielle.
I am one of the restorative justice trainers for Resolutions Northwest. And what we do is we try to help educators to do something other around discipline than expelling and suspending everybody. Right now what's happening, kids are suspended and expelled a lot, and very disproportionately youth of color at the rate about three times as much as white kids, and also gay, lesbian, bi, and trans youth are suspended and expelled about three times as often. This is national data, and Portland is no exception. Yeah, and with slight variation, but it's pretty much the same. So we have some folks based in schools, and we train educators to do restorative justice in schools. So rather than sending a kid home to actually work with them to deal with whatever happened, to be accountable for it, to face the person they may have harmed or the persons and make things right and rebuild community rather than just going home. And a lot of data shows if kids are suspended and expelled a lot, they do enter the school-to-prison pipeline. So, you know, because they haven't learned anything. They haven't learned an alternative way of dealing with whatever the problem was.
Give an example of a youth that has harmed or did some damage to property and has gone through the program.
For example, theft. You know, there's youth who will steal something. Steal cell phones are the big thing. Steal a cell phone from somebody. So rather than just sending them home and maybe even involving the criminal justice system and charging them, to have them come face to face with the person they stole from and hear from that person what that meant financially, emotionally, and then figure out a way to make things right, either through community service, doing something for that person, or, you know, some way to make things right.
And what is the success rate?
The schools we have been working in for a while have a very high success rate in reducing not only the suspension and expulsion rates, but also the disproportionality. Rickler Elementary is one of those schools. They also managed to do much better, to have the highest improvement academically out of her, because it doesn't just affect the kids who are directly involved in some sort of discipline action. It also changes the school climate, and it builds relationships in the school, which benefits everybody.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kevin.
You're welcome. Everybody see that trip for the throwing their hoods up, being good and stuff. It's sending that teaching. Everybody wanna do what they see on the TV. Everything's too misleading, cause the devil's deceiving. There's on every corner looking, reapers reaping. And I see demons come around when I'm sleeping. I don't know if I'm dreaming, but they seem so real. Everybody's killing and robbing over them dollar bills. Getting loaded every day, smoking and popping pills. Hella paranoid, people out their damn window sills. They ain't got no people skills, cause we all drugged up. The system don't give up.
They locking us up. See, it's time to come up, but it's hard when we're down. So at night, this is what they ask when no one's around. Come on. Can you hear me pray at night? Can you hold me and tell me everything's all right? I can't hear you. Where you at? Put your hands together. God, can you hear me pray at night? Can you hold me and tell me everything's all right? God, can you catch my tears as they fall? Can you make sure I'm ready when you make your call? Lord, I need you to find me. Lord, I need you to guide me. Can't do this alone. Lord, I need some help. Just trying to play the game with these cards I was dealt. Thank you for my help. I know it could be worse. Just grateful I'm alive. I should be in the hurt. I thirst for you, Lord. I need you with me. Need you to make me what I was destined to be. Lord, I need you to find me. Lord, I need you to guide me. Can't do this alone. Lord, I need some help. Just trying to play this game with these cards I was dealt.
My name is Cassandra Villanueva. I'm with the Partnership for Safety and Justice, and I'm the Director of Organizing and Advocacy. We organized this event to call for an end to the incarceration and prosecution of youth in the adult criminal justice system. And our goal is to raise awareness, public education, empower and engage our communities to take action and get involved in, you know, efforts to remove youth out of the adult criminal justice system.
And Cassandra, for people who still don't know what Oregon's Measure 11 is, what is Measure 11?
Measure 11 is a ballot measure that was passed in 1994 by voters. And what it did essentially was create a mandatory sentence for 21 different offenses. In that creation of the ballot measure, it included that